There are some of you by now, we shouldn't be telling you to lift up your hands. You are sitting like this. You're sitting like this. One of us was sharing with me something yesterday. She said, so I came on Friday and I was supposed to preach for a friend in this city, in Port Harcourt. And we had a special service here on Friday because I did not see myself staying till Sunday. So I wanted to just minister to the new breed people who will be around on Friday or who can make it. I knew many of you will be at your jobs, your work. And anybody who was in that service knows that that service was very powerful. The power of God was strong in that service. And while the service was going on, I saw something I've not seen before. I've never seen that before. I saw three mouths with teeth. They were crying. And they were saying, Pastor, stay till Sunday. I saw three mouths with teeth. Crying, say, stay till Sunday. Please, stay till Sunday. Please, stay. They were crying. So when I saw that, I lifted up my hands to God and said, God, please permit me to stay till Sunday. People don't know that. Everywhere I am, or everywhere I will be, God intentionally drafts it out. And so, one thing led to another, and I am here. But I have a concern. My concern is, so as a pastor, by the grace of God, I've been preaching for a while. I know when there is hunger. I'm not picking enough hunger. I don't know what's going on. This may not be the same exact atmosphere in Lagos or Abuja or online. But in this room, the hunger is not enough. And it's something you will do by setting your heart. That God, if this is your servant, today, let there be a drawing. At the program we went for, as I entered into the hall, I began to hear a girl's name. I started hearing Ijoma. Ijoma. I heard it three times. I said, what is this? So, I don't like doing all those. There's somebody here. I tried to avoid that. But this one was too strong. I couldn't ignore it. So as we were rounding off, I just said, you know what? After we ministered, the power of God was strong in the place. I said, there is someone. And this guy raised his hand, his sister. I had to stop him from crying publicly so that he would not really expose to the public what the sister was going through. But God visited the sister. Holy Spirit. Thank you. Today's service is a very prophetic service. And I deeply pray for you that you will catch and collect all that God has prepared for you. I pray that your eyes are open to perceive and respond properly to all that God has provided for you in this service. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 1. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 1, it says, and it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.
So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets, I come against that spirit of passivity right now. In the name of Jesus. Wake up in the name of Jesus. Wherever you have been sleeping spiritually. Wake up in the name of Jesus. Wherever you have been asleep in destiny, wake up in the name of Jesus. I come against that spiritual blindness in the name of Jesus. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Or they were asking him, do you know that the Lord is about to take your master away? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. Can you join me in reading? And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they stood by Jordan. Verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither. So that they went two over on dry ground. And it came to pass. Ah, Jesus. The power of God is in this place. God, let the eyes of people be open in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. So Elisha had been following Elijah. And Elijah pretended like he did not know. He said, ask what I shall do. What will I do for you? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, oh, Jesus. If thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they went still on, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a wild wind into heaven. And Elijah saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his clothes and rent them into two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smoothed the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. Ah, my God. My God. See after me, transition. Please, let your people not live here the same way they came. Okay. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. I pray for you. By the time you are stepping out of this door today, it will be said, the spirit of your next phase has rested upon you. Everyone that sees you will not obviously that you have changed level. They will know obviously that you have shifted. They will know you have emerged. They will know you are starting to new chapters. In the name of Jesus. Please be seated. This morning, God has placed strongly in my heart to share what I've titled Transitions, Emerging into New Chapters of Your Destiny. Now, see, if you've been following our teaching series so far, this is not supposed to come in now, right? We've been talking about sit, walk, stand, and understand we are referring to our conflict with the kingdom of darkness and how to stand your ground as a believer and fight. And on Wednesday, we are talking about the whole armor of God. But as I prayed, God opened my eyes to see something. He said, you see this teaching series you are doing? Continue during the midweek service. On Sunday, call my people's attention to the fact that there is a wind of change blowing. There is a wind of change blowing. And they should not be carried away. Let me tell you something. Even if you don't agree with what I am saying, you can feel it. You can feel it that things are changing. It's like you cannot even explain what's really happening, but you know that a change is going on. Something is happening. And it's my job as privileged lead steward of this ministry to always see my most important work, is to find out what is God saying per time and ensure you are hearing that. Are you with me? What is the Spirit saying? In the next 4 months, anybody that connects to what I'm teaching today, you will see a dramatic shift in your life. And if you've been following what has been happening, you can sense it. From the different services, you can sense it. See, after me, my life will change. So in this story, Elijah was leaving. And Elisha was supposed to step into his shoes. Now, how do I know Elisha was supposed to step into his shoes? It was because Elisha was part of the sons of the prophets. But all the sons of the prophets kept on telling him, I hope you know your master will be taken up today. So that means everybody expected Elisha to know and to prepare that you are supposed to fill the shoe of your master. Are you with me? Actually, that is what is called double portion. So in those days, if you study the book of Deuteronomy chapter 21 down to verse 17, you will see the concept of double portion does not exactly mean double anointing. Even though, will I say, coincidentally, Elisha did twice the miracles Elijah did. But by the time he died, and you know when Elisha's bones was in the sepulcher, that was the 33rd miracle. Elijah did 16 miracles. Elisha did 32 miracles. And then by the time he was dead, he made the 33. So double portion is not exactly double anointing. What is double portion? So if a man had 7 sons, God instructed him to divide his inheritance into 8 portions. He will give each son 1 portion, and then the firstborn will be given 2. Are you with me? As a double portion of all the others what the other sons got. Please, are you with me? In fact, even in Deuteronomy 21, God told the fathers of the land that even if you have 2 wives, and the wife you don't like produces your first son, that child will have double portion because he's the firstborn. Are you with me? So that's what double portion means. It means leadership. It means the new leader that God has brought. See, let me tell you something. We are in a phase in our generation where God is bringing new leaders. New leaders in industry. New leaders in politics. New leaders in business. New leaders in tech. And new leaders in ministry. So, Elisha was supposed to fill the shoes of Elijah. And so, obviously, a new chapter was about to open to Elisha. And it was going to happen at a certain period. They told him, do you know that your master will be taken from you today? So it was, there was a time frame. Are you with me? It's not something that was going to happen or keep on happening forever. It was, there was a time frame. Are you getting me? And that's what makes this thing very serious. There is a time frame. There is a time frame. You don't have eternity to fulfill your eternal destiny. There is a time frame. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The second thing that got my attention was that everyone expected Elisha to know that something was going to happen to his master. Please, are you with me?
Yes,
you know, thank God Elisha knew. But sometimes, some people are so asleep that everybody knows that they are overdue for a change except them. Everybody around them knows you are long overdue for a change except them. To them, if you ask them, how are things going? To them, everything is going fine. It is perfect the way it is. They can't even see. But Elisha knew better. So when they told him, I hope you know your master will be taken from you, he would say, I know. Hold here your peace. See, you must know. No, you have to know. You have to know when. No, now. No. Some things must change. I think, let me force you to do something. Say after me, I am long overdue for a change. No. You must know. See, and you want to, it's not just a hunger. You actually know the season. This season, no. And even if you didn't want to know, God will be doing many things to get you to know. When you begin to have repeated dreams that you cannot remember, that's a sign. No? You just wake up, what dream is this? You sleep again, you wake up, what dream is this? What may be happening is that the spirit realm is trying to get your attention, but you are not really getting exactly what it's saying. Praise the Lord. Let me go on. The third thing that got my attention in this story is that, now listen to this one. Please, I'm begging you. Listen to this one. Why was Elijah trying to distract Elisha from following him? Why was Elijah intentionally trying to distract Elisha? He will say, the Lord has said, told me to go to Bethel. Wait here. He will say, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will follow thee. The Lord has told me to go to Jericho. Wait here. Why are you trying to discourage the young man from following you? Don't you know that he's the one to take over from you? Did Elijah know? He knew. So why was he trying to discourage him? He wanted to be sure if he knew what he was looking for. Let me tell you something. See, if you are not hungry enough, you will not see change. You will not see change. I'm telling you. You know, some people are too, my God. They are too laissez-faire. They are too somehow. Every year, I have tried my best to ensure that when the wind of change is blowing, I am able to communicate it to God's people. Every year. If you follow our teachings, you will know. Last year, it was content. 2 years ago, it was game changer. 2023, if you remember. 2022, it was secrets of change. Whenever there is a shift in the spirit, I like to tell God's people. Are you with me? He was trying to discourage him. And many times it's like that. In life, usually the major things that will shift you forward, you will have so many discouragements around you. Oh my God. I remember, you know, times in my life are just passing my eyes like this. I remember the day I was given an SUV. The first Jeep I ever had, because God is bringing other ones. Amen. I was somewhere. My father in the Lord was ministering. I had finished preaching August 14, 2022. I had finished preaching here.
I was so tired. I'm like, should I go for that meeting? He didn't say I should come. If I go or if I don't go, it may not really make a difference. But I was just tired. Must I go? I could feel something small within me saying, just go. Now, I was not going because I wanted car. We think I was fine with the Honda Accord that I was driving. And that Honda, that at least every 2 weeks, it will make me go under. Because I have to check what is under the car to find out why the tire has bent. You know what that thing under is to do? You'll see the leg like this. So I managed it. I drove. I was looking for something else. As I entered, he said, David, you just entered this building. A building of almost 2,000 people. How did I? He said, David, don't get angry, but you are in this building. God has instructed that you must get a car today. Eventually, it was not his car. Somebody else gave me the Jeep. And at that time, one of the first major oil company jobs I had in this city when I was still in Port Harcourt. There was a meeting. Should I go for the meeting? But somehow I was just, that day I was discouraged because I've been looking for a job long time before that, and I've been looking for, applying. Some of them, I will get to the final stage, they will not answer me. That day I just felt, you know what, just go. Go for this meeting. After the whole event, I was going out, going back home, and I ran into a man. The man said, David, how are you? He said, I've been looking for you. Somebody told me about you 2 days ago that you are a very smart engineer. He said, this is my card. I work at so-and-so place. Please come to my office tomorrow. And that was how I went to the office. They interviewed me that day. I got the job that day. So later, I was now thinking. I said, wait, why was it this day? I remember, you know, if there's anybody you can learn this thing from, it's me. Most part of my life, I have been in sync with God to the point, most part of my life, it was as if it was, it was arranged. The place I got a scholarship, where somebody picked me and trained me for 5 years in the university, it was like that too. I remember where I was. I had a nudge. Go and see this person. Just go and visit this person. On my way visiting, the man saw me. Where have you been? Come to my house. Who told you that I cannot train you? And to be honest, it was the Lord's work. I was discouraged that day. Should I even go? Should I even do it? And I'll come to this later. I pray for you. You will not be discouraged on the day of your change. Hallelujah. He was trying to discourage him. See, you must prove to yourself and to God that you are hungry for a change. You must prove to, tell your neighbor, you must prove to yourself and to God that you are hungry for a change. See, for the fact that God has planned something for you does not mean it will automatically fall on you. You think Elijah did not know that Elisha would take over? He knew. The prophets knew. Let me tell you something that you may never have thought about. There are too many people in life who have uncompleted greatness. Hi, my God, my God. I have said it here before many times. If you read the book of Jude, the Bible talks about a group of people called clouds without water. Clouds they are without water, driven by the tempest. Those people, the analogy given there, the picture the writer is trying to create is, you can see a cloud forming. Maybe for instance, this is Port Harcourt, so we are used to seeing rain. Have people ever had this experience where it looked like it was going to rain? Everywhere was black. Everywhere became black. You were like, hey, today, the rain will go fall. The rain that will fall, we will not even see a place to put our leg. And after 30 minutes of black clouds everywhere, the sun came up. Have you seen that kind of thing before? It also happens in people's lives too. People look at the way they are going and say, hey,
This guy will soon blow. Hey, this guy will soon become something. This guy will soon. But the cloud gathered and gathered, and after a while, it cleared off. The rain never fell. That was what would have happened to Elisha. If Elisha said, "You know what, Elijah, I am tired of following you. I'm not going again. I'm going back." Everybody would have looked at him and said, "Ah, but he was supposed to be the one to take over from Elijah. How come he's with us?" There are people like that. Are you with me? See, I know it so well. That's the reason why I'm emphasizing. This year, I've done almost 3 teachings on transition. That's what I've been emphasizing, because I know. Hey, my God, are you with me? I know that if you're not careful, you can be almost there. You look like you will be it. But if you're not careful, you do not become it. And painfully, I'm sorry to say this, painfully, there are not too many pastors and ministries that help people become. Talk for another day. Some people, the truth is that the way they are going, there is no future for you. You can never make it. The way they are going about their life, when there is a season open to them, they don't even know. They don't even know. They are too careless to be in charge. They are too carried away. Are you with me? Hey, my God. Please, let's pray in the spirit. If you can pray in tongues, let's pray. If you cannot pray in tongues, say, "Oh God, today, let something happen in my life today." Pray in the spirit. I want to hear you with a louder voice, please. Inside of me, I see you now. I see you here. I see you now. Inside of me, I see you now. I see you here. I see you now. Inside of me, I see you now. I see you here. I see you now. Inside of me, I see you now. I see you here. I see you now. Inside of me, I see you now. I see you here. I see you now. Inside of me, I see you now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So far I have said, number one, there is a season when God wants to cause a change. When God wants to cause a transition. Number two, you must be aware that something is about to change. And number three, you must be serious, desirous, and hungry for a change. But let's go further. Look at 2 Kings 2, verse 9 to 10. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, 'What shall I do for thee before I will be taken away from thee?' And Elisha said, 'I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me.'" Everybody read verse 10 with a loud voice. And he said, 1, 2, 3, go. And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." Let me explain something about "thou hast asked a hard thing." See here, you need to understand that it is easier to stay on the same spot that you have always been than to enter into new chapters of your destiny. It is a hard thing to transition. It is easier to be in one spot, to be comfortable. Too many people remain at the same spot for too long because they will rather settle than ask for a hard thing. Oh my God. Oh my God. They will rather settle than ask for a hard thing. See, in life, you must be able to tell yourself, what is that thing I need to become the fullness of God's plan for me? Many people don't know. That's why I'm talking about this. So, for instance, if you ask, I'm trying to look for an example you can relate with. If you ask the average person, what do you need? Maybe you ask a businessman, what do you need to step into God's plan for your life? Some will say money. Very few will see opportunity. Did you hear what I just said? Some will say money. Very few will see opportunity. Many will say money. Very few will see opportunity. You know what opportunity is? The Bible says, the race not to the swift, the path is not to the strong, nor bread to the wise, but time and chance happened to them all. You know what opportunity is? Oh, say after me, Lord, I receive opportunity. Lord, I receive chance in life. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Years ago, I had a classmate. It pains me to say what I want to say. I had a classmate years ago in secondary school. He lost his both parents in one day. He became an orphan in one day. And the man that trained me, so by the time I was in 300 level, he has still not entered the university. So he now began a business and was making some good money. Are you with me? He was making money, making money, making money. And then, one day, the man that trained me, once in later or another, he heard about this guy and told me that I should go and bring this boy to his house. And that I should ensure that the same university I went to, this guy will get an admission. So, but then, I had some contacts with the registrar of the university. I was connected to the vice chancellor of the university. I had connections in that university. So the aptitude test for the university had closed, but I was able to pull some strings and said they will arrange aptitude test for this guy. Oh. I called him, told him everything, told him what my sponsor said. I said, follow me to go to the house. Guess what this boy told me? He's busy. He said he's busy. That he has one job to catch up with. I say, how much do they pay you? Max, 15K. 15K 10 years ago was big money. 15K. He was like, he cannot. I said, are you mad? Somebody wants to train you in Covenant University. You're looking for 15K. He said, don't worry. Let him just catch this job. That's how he was rigmaroling. Rigmaroling. See, before I could, eventually, by the time I used 1 month to convince him, and he was still not serious, my sponsor picked another person and sent to school. See, it's been more than 10 years, he has not gone. When God, see, I pray for you, your chance is created. Amen. Some people are thinking more of survival than greatness. You have asked a hard thing. That was the problem of Esau. He wanted, are you with me? Yes, he didn't care about birthright. For instance, like me, what if you ask Pastor David, what do I need? I need more new, but I don't, as much as I need a lot of money. New breed needs a lot of money, but what I need more is opportunity. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Something happened. Hey! Something happened in Abuja. Hey! That was the day I knew. Opportunity. I was invited to a naming ceremony to pray for a baby and just preach for 20 minutes. Men and brethren, I preached for 15 minutes, prayed for a baby. In fact, I didn't even know the caliber of people that were coming. By the time I was done, 15 minutes, so 15 minutes, somebody walked up to me and said, Pastor, that 15 minutes charge you gave, I was so blessed. I was so blessed. See, come to my house and pray for me. So I went to the house, prayed for the family. After that, she called me. 2 weeks later, I found myself in the house of a senator ministering. I found myself in the midst of politicians all around. I said, oh, chance. 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 Opportunity. If I have the privilege to preach in front of 1 million people, and you ask me, Pastor, take 1 million naira, I will kick your 1 million naira away and preach to 1 million people. Somebody was playing our sermon in Lincoln in the United Kingdom. Her hairdresser was in another room listening and came out and said, please, who is preaching? Please, who is preaching? She said, hey, it's my pastor. What is his name? Hey, play another sermon. They listened to the first. They were listening to the second sermon. The power of God hits the woman. She fell. She stood up and said, are you a member of this church? Opportunity. I pray for you. You will know what is the hard thing you need. Some of you'll be able to tell yourself, what is that hard thing I need? Some of you. You need to work on your character. That's the hard thing. That thing that is always stopping you. You know, I gave you an assignment on Wednesday. Try and write out the things that are stopping you. How many people did it? Somebody are too comfortable. Anything that will stress them, they don't want. Anything that will push them, they don't want. Some of you, when you should be able to tell yourself, I have been trying with my strength. I am not seeing headway. I need to do something hard. I need to take a fast. 3 days, I will not eat. I will not drink. God, are you with me? You have asked a hard thing. Praise the Lord. Do you really want to go find life? Learn to do hard things. Embrace hard problems. Solve hard problems. When they are in the office and something difficult comes, don't be the one to run away. When something difficult is pressing, don't be the one to run away. Embrace hard things. The people that solve hard things become high flyers. Hard things. Tell them, I will embrace hard things. Praise the Lord. Number 4. You must see what God is doing. Now, and this way I'm going to cap my message. You must see what God is doing and align properly. He told him, if you can see me. He said, you have asked a hard thing, but if you can see me when I'm being taken up. So, you must be able to see what God is doing in your life and properly align. When you see the events of your life, you should be able to say, where is God trying to take me to? For instance, if we ask some of you, if God asks you right now, where do you think you are going? In the next 10 years, what should your life look like? If you cannot say it, you're not ready for change. You should be able to say, in the next 10 years, what should my life look like? That's a strong question for some people. What are the things God is telling you to work on? You know, because I know where I'm going. You know, Pastor Wisdom came into my room when I just from the airport. He saw a book on a book I was reading by Ravi Zacharias and Lee Strobel. He was like, Pastor,
I know where I'm going. There are some things I should be reading. Are you with me? I know that I'm going to be an influential figure for the gospel globally. Before Christ comes, at least 1 billion people will be discipled by me. I know. So I cannot be preaching as though I'm only preaching to what I call native group. Or are you with me? Or the ethnic group. Praise the Lord. No. I know that I'm going to be a thought leader to many of the governments of this world. I know. So I have to read far. I have to read wide. I know the things God is telling me to do now. Sometimes God has to prepare you for the change that is coming. He has to prepare you. Are you with me? If you're able to look at this year, okay, January to November, what is that one thing I have worked on and I have become better at that God can use to announce me? Hey, these are strong questions. These are what? Strong questions, hard things. Hard things. Praise the Lord. If you can see me. And now, that is on the surface. There are deeper matters too that if you can see. Sometimes God is telling you, it's time to move out. God is trying to show you some things deeper. There are some of you, God is trying to show you, if you don't get married now, you are in problem. There are some guys that fall into this category. They are hearing what I'm saying. If you don't marry now, you have entered soup. Some of you, God is telling your spiritual life, you cannot, for where you are going, you cannot keep on being like this. How long will you be like this? How long will they be begging you to pray? You. If you're in this country and you see yourself in politics in the future and you don't know how to pray now, you will die like chicken. You want to be a mortal, you want to do business in billions, and you don't have spiritual roots. God is trying to show you, see. Have you learned this? Have you prepared for this? Sometimes God is trying to show you your seasons are changing. Look at your life. Your seasons are changing. I thought you said my seasons are changing. God will be showing you, this is your runs girl life. You can't continue like that. You can't keep on being here and here and here. Settle down. Have some direction to your life. What is God trying to show you? What is God trying to open your eyes to see? Some of you, God is telling you, okay, while you are working there, plan for a business. Start a business. Register the business. Begin to build your business. Don't just scatter your energies here and there. Are you with me? What is God trying to tell you? Oh, you have registered the business. Have a company. Put a company structure. Look at what he's trying to talk to you about. Eh? Say after me, transition. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you can see me. So I'm going to give you some keys as a round of some keys to pay attention to be able to see what God is really doing in your life. Number one, prayer and divine direction. And I want to say this. There is a cycle that births a change. It usually starts with restlessness. Restlessness will drive you to the place of prayer. So even if you are not sure of what God is trying to show you, please, are you with me? Even if you are not sure of what God is trying to show you or what God is trying to do in your life at a certain season, take note of the seasons where you are restless. Are you with me? Take note of the seasons that you are restless. Look at Jesus in Matthew 26, verse 38. He says, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. Same thing repeated in Mark 14, verse 34 to 35. He says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. tarry here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed. So, usually, when you get to a point where you are just restless, you wake up in the morning, what's my life about? I want today's census. If I've been feeling that way in the last 2 months, let me see your hand. Sometimes you are doing well, though, but your spirit man is saying you can do better. It's not like you are failing. But when God is checking his calendar, I say, no. You are more than this. Tell your neighbor you are more than this. God is checking the calendar and say, you are still here. After all these years, you are still here. So he will give you a gift of hunger. Make you restless. And some people, they drown that hunger. See, it's not every day you wake up and you see food you eat. Some days you wake up and the desire to eat is not there. Turn it to fasting. Tell your neighbor, turn it to fasting. That your covenant with beings must be broken. Amen. Turn it to fasting. You pray. Oh God. See, let me show you a verse that got me thinking. Number two. Well, before number two, let me show you that verse. Luke 22, verse 44. It says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Hey! And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. See, there is a way you will be so restless. Even in the agony, it will make you pray more. You know, some people will say, Pastor, I'm going through this. I will not come to church. That's the time you should come and sleep in church. You don't understand. See, as I'm reading this thing, I'm remembering things God was leading me to do. There were days in my life I was having all night, every night. And sometimes, some of the things God was leading me to do that time, it did not make sense. I didn't even understand what I was doing. How can a 12-year-old boy, I will wake up in the night and say in the name of Jesus, my light will shine. My light will shine. My light will shine. Nothing can cover my light. My light will shine. I will fulfill all God has planned for me. My light, I'm telling you, then. I remember one day I prayed so much. I prayed and prayed and prayed. I started crying about what I don't know. My mom at the parlor asked me, please, what are you praying about? Please, she asked me, your school fees has been paid. There is food in this house. If you are hungry, go to the kitchen. The landlord has not thrown us out. What is the matter? I said, I don't know. Restlessness. Maybe I was praying for new breed. Maybe. But some of you, you have that thing. See, I just need feast somehow. Say, no worry, just watch him. Your balance. Say, Omoni Oboli, can I see love? Oh, hey. Oh, Chase, see love. You finish watching the film, you still feel that emptiness. You eat shawarma and juice, you feel that emptiness. But instead of you to go and pray, you are just roaming around. Say, you're boring. You're boring. I'm just bored. And you're bored. Come on, wake up! Some of you, God is telling you, go to school. Go to school. Learn more. Go to school. You are too crude for where you are going to. I know you are fine, but you need to be refined. Are you with me? You are fine, but you need to be refined. Because eventually, you are a fine girl, but that's not all. After we see the icing on the cake, let us eat cake. Are you with me? Restlessness. Say after me, restlessness. That drives you. Let me say it again. Restlessness that drives you to prayer. Mm-hmm. And as you pray, you will begin to get divine direction. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. It says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I've been doing church ministry. God has been telling me it's time for crusades. The crusade we had this year in January, after the dump and death spoke, the Lord told me the healing anointing I gave you, is not enough for, is more than enough for church. You need open air crusades. Start. So next year, all our branches will have crusades. Some of them I will preach. Some of them Pastor Wilson will preach. Some of them you will preach. The amen is now. Say amen.
Amen.
See, I usually say this. A man without purpose distracts himself with pleasure. Some people, some of you, there is nothing heavy on you. That's why you are just malingering. The reason why you have time to be checking out different girls, how this one's waist is, how this one's boobs is because nothing is heavy. Enter my shoe first. By the time demon will wake you up, waste you in the night. There are too many destinies connected to me for me to be careless. They are too much. It's too much. And they are increasing by the day. Do you understand that? They are increasing by the day. And not just your pastor. Too many are connected to you. Yes. If you fail, it's not just you. Like 1,000 have failed. Say after me, I will not fail. I cannot fail. Look at Abraham. Abraham was so big that he had 318 servants trained in his house. Imagine there are 100 people with 318 servants. How many lives are covered? Say after me, I will fulfill all God has planned for me. I make transition. Number two. Hey, this one. Pay attention. Oh. Number two. Where God tries to get your attention is by disappointment. Disappointment is one of God's major ways to get your attention. Picture yourself as Lot and his wife. They went into the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Eh? And after a while, the city that was their beloved city, they saw fire and brimstone coming down and destroying the city. And God came and told them, come out. And the Lord told them, don't look back. Luke 17:32 says, remember Lot's wife. That's the shortest. No, that's not the shortest scripture. Almost the shortest scripture. The shortest is Jesus wept. Almost the shortest verse in the Bible. Remember Lot's wife. God told them, don't look back. Sometimes your disappointment will tell you what you should not look back to. That breakup, God is telling you, I did it to end your, to help you. I ended it to help you. Don't look back. Because if you look back, you'll be like Lot's wife. Going forward, looking backward, you will have an accident. You keep looking back. I lost this. I lost that. The business is not okay. If that business where I did for 2006 works by now, if I don't blow, it's a lie. With me, don't look back. That disappointment was God trying to tell you there is more for you in the future. I thought you would talk. There is more for me in the future. I will forge ahead. I will forge ahead. This is not my resting place. This is not the story of my destiny. This is not my bus stop. You keep looking back every time. Imagine you are driving looking back. Won't you have an accident? Guess what? Too many people have had accidents in their destiny. You have allowed your trauma become your new rhema. Every time girls are like this. Every time guys are like this. Now you cannot love with a clear eye. You are always suspicious. You are in business because they duped you. You don't believe anybody again. You don't want to. You are too careful to do big business. From the way you talk, you see. Let me tell you something. You have to be careful what's in your heart, too.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Oh my God! You have to be careful what you put in your heart. There is something I call. You know, we do what programming. There is something called mind programming. Your spirit programming. You know the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal,
But their mighty truth got to the pillar of stronghold, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ. Let me tell you something. See, the Bible calls imagination strongholds. There is a way an imagination can come into your mind if you are not careful. That's your limitation. There is a way some thoughts, some imaginations, some mindsets, are you with me? You don't even know when that stronghold has tied you down. There are no good girls anywhere. All the girls right now are being. See, you know what is happening? Because that is the mindset in your spirit, that's what you'll be attracting. And you will think what you are experiencing is determining your conviction, not knowing that your conviction is determining what you are experiencing. Let me say that again. You will think that what you are experiencing is what has brought you to the conclusion that you have had. No, your conclusion is determining what you are experiencing. If you keep saying, man, it's so tough out there. It's so tough. That conclusion you have made in your spirit will make it tough. Hey, my God, my God. Say after me, I will always win. It will not be tough for me. Some of you are not talking. You know, the problem is you have known too much of your problem than the power of God. You know, I and my wife, where we stay, our house is very small currently, but the story is about to change. Amen. So we've been looking for a new house. And we had a budget. And our budget was quite reasonable. Are you with me? But the house we were looking for, people kept telling us, you can't find it. With that budget, it's not possible. You can't find it. You can't find it now. Not to know where you are. This is Abuja. You can't find it. But we're like, we've seen two people get it. We can get it. 2-3 agents came. Same thing. I said, that house, we will get it with this budget. Men and brethren, we saw it. So, let me tell you something. What you're looking for is not hidden. What you're looking for exists. Say after me, what I'm looking for exists. And I will have it. Don't be quick to settle. Dear sister, don't be quick to settle. Don't be quick to say, all men used to cheat. I don't cheat. I've never cheated. And it's not because I am Pastor David. Because I am born again. Please, am I talking to you? I cannot get bank managers to buy my product. You can! You can get corporate people to buy your products. Are you with me? You can and you will. I cannot get politicians or governors to patronize my business. You can. You can. You can. You can. Lionel, you can. Are you with me? You can. Who said you cannot set up a construction company? Who said you can? Who said you cannot employ workers, hundreds of them? You can. Who said you cannot have partners in China, in Japan? You can. Those are strongholds you must break down. You know, in a few days' time, I'll be celebrating my birthday. Somebody was telling me, say, Pastor, you are so young. You don't do ministry like you are doing it to young people. I said, from the very beginning, we have been saying it. We are more than a youth church. From the beginning. If I tell you my reason, you'll be embarrassed. In fact, I am angry that I did not start earlier. So, let me tell you something. Don't let your age stop you. Don't let your age. See, you are never too young. and you are never too old. Are you with me? God, Abraham was 70 when God told him, I will make you a great nation. Abraham should have felt, you don't be now 70. Now to just go and find carpenters preparing caskets. Who said? 70, you can go to school again. Start reading. See here. Kai. I am, by the privilege of God, I have met some old people who are still very smart. The great man, Wigwe, the father of Herbert Wigwe, the one that was late, I met him, the father. That man is more than 80 years. If you hear him speak, you will know that age truly is a number. He's more intelligent than some teenagers. I first met him when he was 70, and he was trying to teach me about completing the square method to solve quadratic equations. Me, I did not know it. As at then, he was like, no, you solve the quadratic equation from first principles. I said, sir, all I know is minus b squared plus or minus square root of 4ac minus. He said, no. He said, no, that's the formula method. The formula method came from completing the square method. The man was 70. I said, true. You can be old and young in your spirit. And you can be young and old in your mind. Disappointment. Sometimes demonic attack. If you're at a point in your life where it looks like your whole world is crumbling down, it's because God wants to build a new one. Did you hear what I said? If you're at a point in your life where it's like, now only me, devil, they find, it's because God wants to build a new one. So he needs the devil to destroy what has been there before. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9, he taketh away the old, that he may establish the second. So if you lose anything, it's because something bigger is coming. It's a mindset to have, oh. It's a mindset to have. And if you study God properly, that's how God operates. He never used the finality with the first. The first Adam was not good enough. So he brought the second and last Adam, which was Jesus. Are you people getting it? And finally, how do you know? How do you see what God is doing? Prophetic encounters and coincidences. When you begin to notice, you just met this person. They just promoted you here. Something just happened here. Don't just ignore it. It's okay, God, what are you trying to do? Why am I seeing these opportunities like this? What should I do? Go into prayer immediately. Lord, what should I do? Coincidences. What am I hearing about this thing? Sometimes you will hear about opportunities that you don't have the money. Don't say, yeah, well, Leo, just say it's bread for us. They just bring something, one opportunity, bah. And when the opportunity resonates with what you need, I need land. In the particular place I wanted land, land now came at a very cheap cost. And you check it's legit. God, open the door. Let me tell you something. You don't get into your destiny by walking into it. You get into it by stretching into it. Let me tell you what I'm really doing. This kind of teachings is what is called my synesis. I am teaching you the things I live by. This is the way I operate. More often than not, I am always on a stretch. You will know you are growing, by the pull between where you are going to and where you are coming from. There must be tension. If you are not under tension, people will not give you attention. May I leave you alone? Most of the projects we did, no, they were not easy. You see this student church building project? Faith. Say after me, I believe God. Bulldozer faith. We can do it. Say after me, we can do it. It's possible. Prophetic encounters. Why was David sent to the battlefield when Goliath was speaking? It was a coincidence. Why was he brought there? Why was David brought to the palace as an instrumentalist long before he met Goliath? God had to connect a relationship between David and Saul So that, do you think David, as a shepherd boy, would just have the boldness to walk up to Saul? He already knew King Saul in the palace because he was playing for him. So by the time he came to the battlefield and he was scared when he heard Goliath, he just knew, you know what, let me talk to King Saul. We are guys. I can fight. Coincidences. When you understand what I know I'm taking time. I know time has gone. Don't play with your relationships anyhow. God makes you meet somebody. You choose the person. You know people, they just say, I'll choose the person anyhow. That person may be your door. You talk to people anyhow. Somebody comes to stay with you. For some weird reason, you are in a place where you have to help somebody of prominence. Don't try to help the person. And you say, can I just please assist me? You meet somebody for the first time and the first thing you're telling the person is the person to assist you. Assist the person first and leave it. Protect your relationships. Are you with me? When you see coincidences in your life, protect it. Protect it.
I wish I can tell you so many stories, but let's leave it. The time has gone. Let's leave it.
God was setting in motion the structure that will pave way for David to become king. But you see, it first started with a prophetic encounter. Saul had been rejected. David was anointed king by Samuel, and from there, the coincidences began. I pray for you, from this encounter, let divine coincidences begin. Amen. Let divine coincidences begin.
Amen.
So, for divine coincidences to begin, there is prophetic encounters and there is chronos. So, there are two kinds of time. There is kairos and there is chronos. For kairos to happen, God orchestrates something. But for chronos to happen, somebody will be in a process. And the both are important. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes, while God is preparing you for a kairos season in your life, or while God is preparing you for a season of a prophetic encounter, he needs to train you first in process. Please, hear this one, and I will close. Everybody who had a prophetic encounter and God singled out had a season of faithfulness. Okay, let's start with David. Who was David? David was a faithful shepherd boy, taking care of sheep. It was clear where he was. He was taking care of sheep. And Samuel came to anoint a king. And when God did not approve of any of the sons of Jesse, he said, you still have one more son. He said, that one is in the bush, taking care of the sheep. It was from the bush, taking care of sheep, they brought him out, and Samuel anointed him to be king, right?
Yes, sir.
So his encounter met him when he was faithful. See, one of the worst things that can happen in your life is being unpredictable. One of the worst things that can happen in your life is you being unpredictable. Nobody knows where you will be at certain times. Another example of a prophetic encounter is Zechariah. Zechariah, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1 from verse 8, that as he executed the priest's office in the order of his course, so God knew that as long as Zechariah will be in the temple, he will always be doing his office. That means we can stage an encounter for him there. You see people that jump from church to church, you don't know, where are you a member? You appear in service. The day the Holy Ghost wants to meet you, you are not around. You come today, and all like, today my belly just, they didn't want to come. No, come. Tomorrow, you don't come. Tomorrow, you are here. Next tomorrow, you are in like this, like that. We cannot even understand you. You are not steady. So if God wants to stage something for you, you know, when robbers want to plan for somebody, they say he passes this road every time. So when God wants to stage something for you, God should know that, okay, this is where he is. This is how he is. This is what is consistent with. Are you with me?
Yes,
say after me, faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
Some people, they cannot stay on one thing. One thing, they can't. I'm going to do a teaching very soon. I'm going to call it dealing with digital addiction. Dealing with digital addiction. I am doing a study currently. I am discovering that our phones have destroyed our brains. And AI is making it worse. People don't think again. Ask ChatGPT. There are some things we will start doing. Some people don't know how to read hard copy books again. They cannot, if they still want it for too long, my head they pay me.
See, I want to tell, by the time I stand before God, I want to raise God quality people. People that when they say, new breed. No. Solid people, solid men, solid people.
Say after me, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
So we have talked about prophetic encounters and coincidences. So for instance, look at this coincidence now. I was supposed to be in Abuja. Something happened. I am in Port Harcourt. It's a coincidence. Oh, coincidences. The man of God we are bringing for our immersion camp, it was a coincidence. Senior man of God. I had seen him in a vision. God has shown me that I should invite him. But there was no way under heaven I can reach him. Somebody that will be in Nigeria today, he will be in the US tomorrow, he will be in the UK next tomorrow, he will be in Dublin, like that. But I ran into him in the airport and God arranged that he was standing just beside me. I quickly connected. Divine coincidence. Praise the Lord. Some of you are in this church by divine coincidence. A lady in Abuja church was sharing with me how God brought her to New Breed. New Breed has changed her life completely. She was passing the church when the first venue we used. She was passing the church to go somewhere. She thought, oh my God. She thought where she entered was the place. Entered inside and said, no, this is not the place. But she said something told her, sit down. Just sit down and listen first. After the service, she said, that place I was going to was not the place. This is the place. It's good I came here. I pray for you. You will not miss your coincidence. So. How many of you have been feeling restless and are ready for a change? Jump on your feet. As we pray this morning, the Lord opens your eyes to see. The Lord opens your eyes to see. The amen is not loud enough. The Lord opens your eyes to see. What I deliver to you is a template for continuous change. See, I'm also in this phase too. Oh, I have seen something bigger. Don't worry. You think New Breed has made progress. There's another part of what is about to emerge.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. Say after me in the name of Jesus. You know what? Raise your hands and say after me in the name of Jesus. From this time henceforth, I make transition. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Raise your hands and say, by the power of the Holy Ghost. For the next phase of my life. For the next phase of my life, I am divinely transitioned. Open my eyes, oh God, to see what you are showing to me. I step into my double portion. I step into my double portion. I step into the fullness of my destiny. In the name of Jesus, by the fire of the Holy Ghost, I burn down the limitation. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I break down the limitation. I break down the walls. The lines are falling to me in pleasant places. I am at the right place, at the right time, with the right people, under the right circumstance. Begin to pray right now.